In addition to the role of individual faith and secular leaders in demanding a more just nation for people of all races, we need to consider what organized religion is able to contribute. Bishop Stacy Sauls is the COO of the Episcopal Church in America. He is also leading the effort at racial reconciliation within the church, and I am very pleased to have him with us today on State of Belief Radio. Bishop Sauls, welcome.
Thank you very much. I'm delighted to be here and delighted to talk about this subject.
If you would, let's start by you describing the efforts the Episcopal Church is making in the broadest of terms related to racial reconciliation.
A lot of what we do has been to concentrate on backing up the local diocese. Mm-hmm. And for example, in Ferguson, we've been very active in backing up the Diocese of Missouri, which is the voice of the Episcopal Church in that state and in that community. But we're also now looking at how we take the lessons that we're learning from Ferguson, from Staten Island, from other places, and turning this into a national conversation. These are really not issues about those particular communities. Mm-hmm. Those particular communities are bearing the weight of that issue for all of us. So now we have to take those communities and the events that have occurred there and make that a broader conversation and result in some action that's both national and local.
Mm-hmm. Is it safe for me to say that the Episcopal Church has been integrally involved in racial reconciliation for a long time, but this new initiative is being prompted by what we've seen in our homes through television and what we've seen in the streets of America over the last few weeks?
I think we started a little bit earlier, about 18 months ago, actually, in the aftermath of the Trayvon Martin case.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And maybe even earlier than that, if I could tell you just a brief story. I had a very wise African-American woman in the Diocese of Lexington with whom I was discussing this issue, and we were talking about instances of racism that had become more noticeable after the election of President Obama. And this is a woman who was in her 90s when we were having this conversation about 10 years ago, and has seen and lived through a lot, and she used these words, which I'll never forget, that she thought we were living in a quiet civil war.
Hmm.
And I think the election of President Obama helped bring that to the fore. And then I think we've seen that in the Trayvon Martin case and the Michael Brown case and the Eric Garner case. Not anything new, but bringing something to the fore. And when this woman, whose name is Mrs. Smallwood, a great saint of the church, used those words, it crystallized for me that we needed to start getting prepared, lest the quiet civil war end up to be not so quiet.
Hmm.
And so we started gearing up at that time, and really the last few weeks have given us a chance to put into action the structure we had already started to develop. For example, about 18 months ago, we hired a racial reconciliation officer. We haven't had a position like that in recent history. And we also hired somebody to work on social justice advocacy, particularly at the local level.
Mm-hmm.
Both of which resources we were able to deploy in Ferguson and in Staten Island.
How did you take on this role?
It goes deep into my soul, and I think there are a couple of reasons for that. One is, particularly as a bishop, so it's less true in my day-to-day life as a parish priest, but particularly as a bishop, when my pastoral cure expanded to include people who were African-American and non-white, which is really the first time in my ordained life that it happened,
mm-hmm.
I began to see the importance of the issues in a different way. I already understood them intellectually, but I was seeing them in a way of how they affected real people who were in my pastoral care. But the other one, frankly, is I'm a Southerner, and I am aware of how racial prejudice is part of the air that I breathed growing up. I didn't have to do to acquire it. I just
Yes.
breathed it in.
Yeah.
And that, I realize, is a deep infection in my soul and something that I need to be healed of.
Hmm.
So in that way, this is a very personal issue for me.
It's perfectly understandable for me because, as you may know, I share exactly that kind of history, and it brings an intensity to our concern, I think, that other people may not quite understand.
I think that's right. I also think it gives us the advantage of being able to recognize some things when other people might not see them.
Right, right. Bishop Saul, what have you come to understand about race, both within and beyond the Episcopal Church?
One thing I've certainly come to understand is how deeply pervasive it is, and how in the world we live in, which makes it more dangerous in some ways than the world in which you and I grew up, it's much more subtle. That's a constant challenge, just the awareness. We also, I think, are living, this is less true now than it was 6 weeks ago, but I think we live in this country in a state of denial that we have dealt effectively with these issues, and we don't have to deal with them anymore, that we're in a post-racial world. Quite clearly not true.
Yeah. What can organized religion do to further the work of justice for everybody?
I think we have an unbelievable opportunity presented to us at this moment, and I'm pretty confident that God expects us to take advantage of it. What the church is really good at is nurturing movements. The church itself is a movement. Its origin is as a movement. It is a movement before it's an institution. And in the civil rights movement, we saw the church acting effectively to encourage a movement. And I think we have the opportunity to do that again. We're located on the ground. We're present in all communities. The very essence of the church is millions of people spread out among their neighbors. Mm-hmm. What we haven't been so good about, and now I think we have a moment to change that, is in the crisis justice moment. Like the rest of society, we've tended to come in the crisis, and then as time fades and people lose interest, we back off, just as everybody else does.
Mm-hmm.
And now I think we have an opportunity to turn crisis justice moments into a long-term movement.
Bishop, what have you individually learned in your work that would be valuable to the understanding of others on where we truly are on this issue and how far we need to go?
You know, again, I think I have to tell you why this is so personal for me, because not only did I grow up in the South, but my nuclear family now includes two children who are not white. They are Korean. And so I have had the experience in my life of seeing how this reality of American life has affected them. This is very personal. But one thing that I have learned from that is that as a white person, particularly a white male in America, that I come kind of ready-made with all kinds of advantages and privileges that not all people do. Nothing that I earned, it's just an accident of birth and being born white. The reason that is now seared into my consciousness is I realize I cannot pass along my privilege to my children. My children live a different reality. In my personal family life, that means equipping them differently.
Yeah, yeah.
But what it sears into my consciousness is the reality of my privilege and what it means that it's not shared by everyone, including the two human beings that are as close to me as anybody could possibly be.
Bishop Sauls, when you look around and see what's happening today with the protests and the, it seems like, never-ending discovery of more indications of injustice, do you feel hopeful that we can move forward toward becoming a more fair and just nation, or are you a little bit skeptical about it?
I have to tell you, this may be incredibly naive, but I'm quite hopeful, and I can tell you why. For one thing, especially the Eric Garner case has seen people of different races coming together.
Mm-hmm.
That's a sign of hope, I think. But here's the bottom line for me of why I'm hopeful, and it really has nothing to do with the events of the last 3 or 4 weeks. Mm-hmm. It has to do with the events of 2,000 years ago and that God promised this would be different, and I'm pretty sure that God intends to keep that promise and make it so. I do think we have to help
yeah,
in
yes,
that.
Yes.
But I the further I go in this, the more I believe that God's good for the promises God has made.
Bishop Stacy Sauls is the Chief Operating Officer of the Episcopal Church in America. He leads the denomination's efforts at racial reconciliation. He was formerly the bishop of the Episcopal Diocese of Lexington, Kentucky. Bishop Sauls, thank you for being with us today on State of Belief Radio.
It has been a great pleasure, and it's good to be working with you on this challenge.